is a good friend of mine. I like to call her Bubby, Toropu Boba, from up there in the great land of Ngāpuhi, heads social services up there. Kia ora, good evening.
Tēnā koe, Matt.
You know, you are one of the superstars up there of the North, and I know you won't say because you're a fairly humble individual, but the work you fellas are doing in terms of getting our whānau vaccinated is incredible. I mean, are you seeing a turnaround on the ground in terms of our whānau who are maybe hesitant now coming forward?
Yes. We're getting people who are asking more questions about the vaccination and getting more information and before they are vaccinated. It's about what they understand and what they hear through other media channels. But certainly we have increased the number of vaccinations in our area, and we're consistent. You know, as long as we're accessible and available for what our whānau need, that's the main thing.
Well, I mean, it has been a challenging period because, you know, we've now reached 90% vaccination rates, first dose across the three Auckland DHBs, and there's still a way to go in some of the other DHBs, obviously, as well. And then in Northland, there's the discussion on the table about how, well, let's keep the border in place with Auckland as well, and let's try and contain this as much as possible. For you, being one of the people, one of the leaders on the ground there, and actively being involved, obviously, in the vaccinations, how much longer do you think it will be before we're going to see the rates of vaccinations get to a point in Te Taitokoro where there is a possibility of freedom of travel?
I think Taitokoro is quite different to the urban areas where we're more relaxed about everything, which includes the vaccinations, unfortunately. Mm. And certainly people take their time on anything, even to get somewhere.
Mm.
So the simplest things, and so changing that culture and stepping it up is about engaging in relationships. And they have to trust you.
Mm.
And they have to trust the person that's sharing that information. Like last week, we were humbled to be invited to a group of forestry workers, young Māori men, and they had guest speakers and engagement and could ask questions before they actually did the vaccination. So those are the key things, is around who they trust, who they will listen to, and how they respond in terms of being able to be heard is really important.
Yeah, you raise a really good point because, I mean, the comms or the PR and the media out there have followed a very traditional form of communication. Let's go to mainstream media, for example, and tamitamia. But for our people, we get our messages in different ways. I mean, we still get them in hui, whakawhanaungatanga, sitting down, having a conversation with each other. Heck, even around the boil-up pot, around the hangi pit. I mean, did we leave things too late before we realised that's the way we should be communicating instead of relying on just the messages coming from central you-know-where down in Wellington?
Booking online is something that would never be a priority.
No.
And one-to-one engagement is critical when you're wanting to form a relationship, because there is already a mistrust amongst our whānau up here.
Mm.
So, like, for example, a kai is critical, the yarn is critical, who you're yarning with is even more important. If someone says something, oh, get vaccinated, and they don't know you or they don't like you, they'll keep walking.
Yeah.
And so they have to look up to you, actually. And so leadership is required. We made a huge assumption, I think, that people would automatically follow.
Mm.
And that's not been the situation in Taitokoro.
Yeah, I don't think it's been the situation, to be honest, in too many Māori communities, you know. I mean, even my whānau down there in the great province of Tauranga Moana. But it's interesting, even with our rangatahi, our rangatahi, they're getting their messages in different ways. But the other big issue that we're confronted with is this misinformation, the conspiracy theorist sort of stuff that's out there. I've been watching very carefully one such activist that she, an Australian lady, decided to take up residence up there in Te Taitokoro. My goodness, some of the things that they're spreading is just horrendous. But some of our people are buying that they're actually going into that rabbit hole with these people. I mean, is it a bigger problem than we know?
Yes.
Really?
I think it's when you don't have the leadership that inspires you or you trust, they're going to look for another alternative option of why you don't. We always look at things in that aspect as why we won't rather than why we will.
Absolutely.
That's certainly been the challenges that we've been faced with around whānau coming together.
Well, I do have a view on it, of course. I've got a view on everything. I mean, if I had my way, I'd take that Australian to the airport myself. I'd pay for her ticket and send her packing. But anyway, that's just me. That's probably why I'll never be immigration minister. Hey, just a last question for me. Is there anything else that you need to be able to do your mahi up there in the north? Is there anything that's missing that the government needs to front up with or anybody else needs to front up with that will help you do your job?
I think in terms of information sharing around what's going on in terms of positives and where the locations of interest has always been something we've had to wait for based on I should know, is how do you make something a location of interest, an area? Mm-hmm. What does that look like and what should we prepare? So you sort of get information like on the news, there's two positives in Northland. Well, what can we do with that sort of information? It's getting information that's useful where we can be so targeted that we can do something about it, but that's how you get it. You get it in drips and drabs rather than the full story from the start. You either hold back everything or you give everything, you know, in terms of sharing information. So that's been our frustration in terms of if we did have positives responding to that whānau, but having to follow a model that doesn't fit with us as Māori. And certainly when they're doing the contact tracing, what that looks like, you know, when I have to be told that I have to wait to get approval to organize accommodation when I've already contacted a whānau, well, I know these whānau.
Yeah.
You know, they trust me to do the right thing and take care of them. That's my job. So when I am managed around how I do things, we're going to have a yarn with the public health team around process.
Yeah, absolutely.
When we do ask that question, they say, oh, the Ministry of Health from Wellington has said this. So it's always someone else,
rather than
people just taking responsibility for people who aren't well. It's like anything, you know.
It is always somebody else's fault, eh? You know, somebody else is to blame. It's somebody else's fault. It's Dave down the corner. It's old Hilda down the corner shop. It's Mike round the corner. And it's just ridiculous. But you raise a really good point. Information is so key and pivotal when it comes to this pandemic. Hey, my friend, good to talk with you. Really appreciate you coming online and really respect
nice
the mahi that you're
you.
Doing. Absolutely. Next time it'll be Thanks, over a couple of beers.
Oh, that'd be nice. I've forgotten
what it is. I've lost 38 kilos. That's how bad it's got for me. Hey, my friend,
Oh, my gosh, I'm jealous.
Oh, don't worry. Wait until you see me. The only thing missing is going to be my disco boots. Hey, you have a wonderful evening, and thank you so much for your mahi up north.